This is UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar, and you are listening to Eddie and Jordan on Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
What they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I am your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always in his beautiful blue shirt, star of the new Hulu series, How I Met Your Father, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, Marlo's got a hell of a story to tell, right?
Eddie, it's great to see you. Is that show actually happening? Is that finally greenlit?
It's happening. I've seen trailers. It's actually already out there.
Okay, interesting. I will have to check it out. I enjoyed the first one. Well, guys, you can follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie, it is, man, the weeks just fly by.
They do.
It's like I especially saw you yesterday, time. But then again, it's great to see you again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's great to be seen. I haven't done much in the last few days. You know, actually went to work like 4 days straight, like to the office.
Okay, good for
you. But then after that, come like Friday afternoon through Monday, bupkis.
Good.
Nothing. The world didn't know I existed.
As you should.
Hey.
How are you? Well, I wasn't saying that the world shouldn't know you existed. I said as you should not do anything over this over that 3 day weekend. Eddie, how are you feeling? We are a week out of our Tappies extravaganza. Looking back, were there any mistakes that you think you made that maybe you thought I went the wrong way here? Could have been in your picks for the year. Could have been in your, you know, is there a mea culpa? Is there an apology somewhere?
Only in that you forced me to pick something for the middleweight champion. Because I still think whoever wins in Houston will hold the belt for the rest of the year. But also recently watched, the Morning Combat resume review of Francis Ngannou. And just watching him knock people out, dude, it'll make you rethink things. It really will.
Well, we'll talk about Francis Ngannou. Obviously, that is a big reason. We got UFC 270. And Francis Ngannou versus Cyril Gane. So we'll talk about them later. And you can tell us some of your picks there and why you're going to go the way. Remember, you picked Cyril Gane to be the champion at the end of the year. Eddie,
yeah.
I've looked back. I have thought about my picks. And, I would actually like to apologize to someone. To absolutely nobody, Eddie. I made the right picks, every single one of them. You were wrong. I was right. It was probably the best picks, best happies ever by me, I think.
I mean, we won't know for another 11 and a half months.
Yes, but probably my best happies
pretty strong,
ever.
Jordan.
Yeah, it was good. Eddie, I have to tell you. So usually we've been kind of cutting down on the banter, but there's going to be some banter today. Eddie,
banter
I have to talk to you. I was out with my kids on Monday.
Okay.
We were out. I was cleaning the fish pond. What you do, right? You clean the fish pond. And
Wait. There's a fish pond too?
There's a fish pond. And
that's not part of the pool.
It's in the fairy garden. So I have a fish pond in the fairy garden. And so we've got about four little koi. I think goldfish, baby koi. And
why aren't these on Instagram?
Well, there's no need. And my daughter comes over and says, oh, there's a donkey. And I look up and I see a donkey coming down our driveway.
And by donkey, you don't just mean me being a jackass.
I mean, typically I would, but not today, Eddie.
Right.
It was a
That's
real
why I
donkey.
Had to clarify.
There's a donkey coming down, and then I see a lady kind of coming after him. Like, can you help me get my donkey? It's my son's donkey. And so he's coming in. We bring out apples. She has a rope that she's trying to put around his neck to just capture him and then bring him back. And so the donkey kind of goes into my backyard. He jumped over all the pipes in my pool. And
that's good.
And I almost caught him. I had an apple in my hand. He came over. He sniffed my hand. And I was behind a bush. And I thought, and I had the rope. And I was you know what? I might be able to, if I could walk out right now with this donkey, I would be the donkey whisperer. And so I tried, and he ran away. So we eventually...
I'm sure your wife would agree that one jackass deserves another.
Yes, that's probably true. I probably set myself up for this one. Eddie.
Yeah, you did.
But I did not catch the donkey. But we did finally corral the donkey, and the donkey left. I don't know where the donkey is now. But we had a donkey on the loose in the homestead.
Okay, can you clarify to the people what part of the boondocks that you live in now?
I don't live that far out of town at all. I just live in Leander.
I mean,
and so
there's donkeys, man.
There's donkeys. People, there's like someone who has 60 acres by us, and they have donkeys. We actually have we have a horse next to us and a little pony, and they come up every so often. It's just it's a good time. I got hogs. I get deer out here. It's just, you know, it's a lot of fun, Eddie.
So we need to go get you a rifle.
I've got a rifle. I'm good. For the hogs, I would take the hogs out. One day Marlo and I were watching TV. And we saw the light keep flashing outside. It's a motion sensor light. And I'm like, what is going on? And like it was kind of windy, but I was like, finally I get up and I walk over there. And right by my car, I see right at the window, like, you know, like 3 feet in front of me, just on the other side of the window, a fox just hanging out right there.
Oh.
And yeah, just good times over here. So
all right. That may have decided made up my mind for me about not visiting you.
He's a little fox. It's fine. And it was,
hey man, when there's a little one, there's a big one around the corner somewhere.
Yeah, well, it didn't look like a baby. I mean, it was just I think it was a full grown fox. It's just, you know.
Well, they're not big, yeah. But
Eddie, this is where I live. It's just a great time out here. You're getting a little nervous. I see you getting a little nervous in your face.
I'm literally out of smart ass comments.
Well, that's
I mean, foxes, donkeys, koi ponds.
Yeah.
What's a fairy garden?
I don't even know. It's just a little garden on the side with little.
And here
with
I was
fairy houses.
And here, I was going to just tell you the story of how my buddy made us miss the last series of the Cowboys game because after the 49ers supposedly got that first down on the quarterback sneak, he just grabbed the remote and turned off the TV and walked away.
Oh, he was upset.
We never saw that there was a flag. Next thing you know, I'm leaving. I get in the car, Sirius XM comes on, and they're talking about old people sweating bullets. I was like, what? Who's sweating? What happened? Had no idea.
Well, you missed a fun finish to the game. Eddie, I went throwback. I sent you a picture, and I'm sure you're going to post that later on Instagram. But
only if I get pictures of the fairy pond and the koi.
I will probably not send you that. But
don't let me call your wife.
Okay. So I wore my jersey. So I sent you a picture from, I think it was my 7th grade school picture. So like when they come and do like glamour shots at school, I decided that I was going to wear a Steve Young jersey to school that day.
Yeah.
And so this is 1994, because they won in 95, and I know I definitely have it in January of 95. And so sometimes it's either 7th or 8th grade at this point. And then I sent you a picture of me wearing that same jersey yesterday for the game.
Now tell me, it's just the same style jersey. It's not the same exact jersey.
It is the same exact jersey. It is the same one.
Wow.
Still fits. It was probably a little bit big back in the day. And I actually still have a 49ers sweatshirt that I will wear to play football in that I also had in 8th grade. So,
wow. And I thought I didn't grow much.
Yeah, well.
The funny part is it's like your hair is basically the same, except now that part that went forward is just kind of swept backwards.
Yeah, so it's a fun time. So, Eddie, last thing for me before we talk about some fights. I'm going to Florida this week. I got to jump on a plane. I'm only going to be there for 24 hours. But I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to getting back on the road. I'm looking forward to finding a steak dinner. And it's going to be great.
Nice. Was it Tallahassee?
Oh, I've got to go to Cocoa Beach, actually. So I got to fly to Orlando.
Cocoa Beach.
You know, first world problems.
Nice. I know, right? While we're possibly getting some cooler weather this week.
Yeah.
Had a buddy tell me he's prepping for snow up in DFW.
Ooh, don't love that.
I'm like, ooh, why didn't hear about that? Let me check my axe and battery.
Yeah, I bought some propane for our generator this week, just
good
in case.
Call.
You never know, Eddie. My big dilemma though, right now, I'm trying to decide: do I want to rent a car and drive to Cocoa Beach? It's about an hour away from Orlando.
Okay.
Or do I want to just get a couple Ubers? Right. An Uber is going to cost me about $70 each way. A car probably cost me about $50 total. Then gas. And then, but time, right? It's the time. Do I really want to take the time to go out and get a rental car? What would you? I'm not paying for either of them, just so you know. What would you do?
Oh, I take it you're not a you're not using the rental car company that shall not be named that will pick you up.
No, I am not. But sometimes at airports, right, they're off site, so you don't get to go on site, and it takes time. You got to go take a shuttle over there. I don't know if I want to deal with
right. Well, you know, if you're not paying for either one, just get the Uber and you can sleep in the back, man.
Well, you could. I just think it's, you know, I want to make sure you want to be frugal, right? You want to be smart, but you got to be smart with your time as well. And the time to go out there, the gas, paying for the insurance, paying for the tolls. I'm just going to let them do it.
Listen, yeah, I know who you work for. They won't miss it.
Well, it's okay. So
they won't even notice.
Well, it's okay. All right, Eddie. There was fights this weekend. The first fights of 2022. And while I don't think we had, I know Dana White called it maybe the fight of the year, a little premature. It might have been a performance of the year. Calvin Kattar put on a clinic. And what's crazy is it was 364 days since the clinic was put on him. So that's
growth right there.
So almost a full year. I think what Saturday was it the 15th? No, it was the 16th. A year ago, it was the 15th, and he fought on the 16th the year before. And, you know, when that beatdown that he took on the hands of Max Holloway. But Calvin Kattar, he put it on Giga Chikadze. And this is one of the fights where, you know, both guys, I really think both guys elevate themselves through this fight. Giga Chikadze, we didn't know exactly how good he was, but we know that he's up there in the division. We know how durable he is. We know that he can take shots. We know that he's got heart, and we know that he was still swinging. But Calvin Kattar, I mean, he came back from that beatdown that he took from Max Holloway, and he looked so much better.
Yeah, Kattar really made a statement. I'm not so sure how much Chikadze did. I mean, his chin definitely made a statement. But the statement that made by his face afterwards, not so good. It's like, you got to, for such an experienced kickboxer, you'd think he'd learn not to use his head as a means to block punches.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that he moves down? Would you move him down in the rankings? He was ranked 8th going into this fight. So you would put him low, and Kattar was ranked 5th. So you would put him lower. So you would have him losing to guys like Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett.
Emmett, yeah. Especially with his power and the lack of defense that Chikadze showed. Arnold Allen, I'm not so sure. Dan Ige, I'd give Ige a pretty good shot at winning that. Even Edson Barboza.
Well, here to beat
it. That would be a great shot.
Well, here to beat Edson Barboza.
Still a great fight.
He already finished him. So, with a Giga kick. So, Giga's a great fighter, man. And maybe we didn't give Calvin Kattar enough respect last week. We kind of
glossed over. I think that's the problem.
We glossed over the fact that, you know, I don't think we thought that Giga was going to be next in line, but we didn't think he was going to lose this fight.
I think it's one of those things where we said before that we kind of decide on who someone is, and that just sticks in our heads. Because it's not like football or basketball where you get like all these practice reports and you hear about how much someone's improving at this or that. It's just the last thing we saw of Calvin Kattar. Well, he was getting his brains beat in. Next thing you know, he's apparently improved a hell of a lot in the last year, and he's beating the brains in himself. And we just don't see that. So we just have what last happened stuck in our head. And that's why I guess we can't get past the image that we have of him.
Yep. And you think of the same way, right? The last thing we saw was Giga. He was on this huge win streak. In the UFC, I think he had won 8 in a row. Maybe 7 in a row prior to that, when wins over Edson Barboza, wins over Cub Swanson, and so many finishes, which is impressive. And so that's why we kind of thought that he was on his way to the top. I still don't think Giga's out. I mean, I don't know. I don't love what Giga said after the fight where, hey, I beat this guy 9 out of 10 times. This was the one time that he would have beat me. You don't want to say that. You want to be more gracious in defeat. But I don't think by any means is he out of it, nor is he not a top 10 fighter in this division.
Well, there was nothing gracious about Giga for the whole like month leading up to this fight. I mean, the dude was talking much trash. And to the point where he got upset at the Korean Zombie for just sending a little kind of a facepalm emoji after the fight. But after Giga was telling everyone how Volkanovski was taking Zombie as the easy fight. And then he goes out and gets blasted.
Yeah, do you think so? Like, do you think he put that pressure on him, right? Because that really amped up a week before the fight, when the Max Holloway fight fell through. And then was Giga looking past Calvin Kattar? Was that the problem?
Quite possibly. It almost felt like it. He was not ready for this fight whatsoever. So I don't know if he had just a bad camp. Or like I said, he spent too much time talking trash online.
Well, but he didn't really start talking trash until right at the end, right? Because that was only the last week when Zombie got the Volkanovski fight when Max fell out. So, but you think about that, like the way the fight started, you kind of had Giga trying to go for it, kind of go for the win and try to make it quick to try to make prove a point. And when that didn't work for him, Calvin gets that takedown, right? And that's the beginning of the end. He didn't have another answer for what Kattar was doing.
Yeah, plan A didn't work. He had no plan B. And plan C was just get punched in the face. Over and over and over and over.
Well, you look at this division, Eddie. This is like the haves and the have-nots division. You've got Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski right at the top. I mean, seeing what Calvin Kattar just did to Giga, it shows you how impressive what Max Holloway did to Calvin a year ago. What Max Holloway has done to Yair, what Volkanovski was able to do to Brian Ortega. I mean, these guys, I mean, they are kind of in a class by themselves in this division.
Yeah, and then what Volkanovski did to Holloway.
I mean, arguably. I mean, you could arguably say that Holloway won the second one, which is why they're going to fight again. This is when there's the third fight. But it's impressive.
Yeah, there's levels. Yeah. There's levels. And Holloway and Volkanovski are right at the tip top, but right below that, man. It's a murderer's row.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great division. So what do you do, right? If you are Calvin Kattar, you were ranked fifth going into this fight. We know Zombie is busy. Max Holloway is injured. So you think that the only other fights, you've got two guys coming off of losses. Brian Ortega lost to the champion. You got Yair Rodriguez coming off a loss to Max Holloway. I don't believe that Cater's probably not going to fight down at this point.
Have we heard anything about a medical suspension?
For Kattar?
Yeah.
Not that I know of, but I mean, I'm not that worried where if it's 3 months, I look at when that next fight could be, give him 3 to 4 or 5 months. So medical suspensions aside, what do you do next with that? If they're all the equal, right? What do you do with Calvin Kattar?
Well, I was asking because I was thinking maybe he should stay ready in case someone falls out of the title fight. And he didn't look too injured, like at least facial-wise.
Well,
him and Chikadze took a picture. After the fight?
He breaks his nose,
I don't hear anything about his hands.
Yeah, his face, his nose was probably broken. I mean, Giga landed some shots on him, dude. Calvin Kattar ate some shots. Yeah, 6 months medical suspension. Man. So he has.
Six months, okay.
Oh, excuse me, that was last year's. Let me see if there's anything. I don't know. Let me see if I can't find it, what it is, what would be just in the past little bit.
Okay.
He should stay ready, right? So he did say that he's going to try to stay ready in case he has to step in the Volkanovski Korean Zombie fight. But you know, obviously he's got to heal a little bit. So
yeah, and with the performance that he just put on, he could easily be called on to headline another fight night.
60-day medical suspension. That's what he got.
Okay. So when's the
It's
the featherweight title
it's
fight?
In April.
Oh yeah. So yeah, stay ready.
Stay ready. That would be good. All right. Anything else? Obviously, you know, Giga, lots of options. You know, fight back. Maybe Dan Ige. That's a fight you could do.
Yeah. So that'd be a fun one.
So, all right. Anything else? You know, I thought in the co-main event, yeah, Jake Collier, he defeated Chase Sherman. I thought something interesting. Caitlin Chikagan, she fought out her contract. So
yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
She defeated Jennifer Maia by decision. The UFC declined. She says that the UFC declined to offer her a new contract before this. So if you're Caitlin Chikagian, you know, you're someone that's not going to. We saw her fight. We were there. She fought Valentina Shevchenko in Houston. She's probably not going to get another title fight anytime soon. What do you do with her?
I get the feeling that we've seen the last of her in the UFC. I mean, just the way that Dana was talking about, oh, kind of we'll see what happens. Usually he knows what's going to happen. And him being so noncommittal. I mean, and also Chukagian, like you said, she's kind of in no man's land, having lost to the champ, but being ranked number two. So she is literally the gatekeeper. She's not going to get a title fight. She's got no contract. Also, Her agents are the same people that rep Francis Ngannou, and you know how that's going these days?
Yep, we'll talk about that later.
So she could just somehow end up being a casualty of those negotiations and those, that head-to-head fight there.
Well,
and we might see her soon in Bellator PFL.
Well, you think about her. PFL does not have a division for her, so that would be a challenge there. What's interesting about Caitlin Chookagian, she has 17 wins. She's 17-4. She's been in the UFC since 2016. None of her victories have come via stoppage. She only wins via decision.
So that's the other thing.
That's a problem, right? So she's not an exciting fighter in that she finishes fights. The last fight she
finished.
And we
know Dana doesn't like boring fighters.
That was 2016. In the CFFC, she stopped someone in the first round with a knee. But, you know, so she's not someone that has done that before. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see her somewhere else besides the UFC.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because she is probably the second best flyweight in the world, even including Bellator. And to just be tossed aside like that is pretty upsetting.
I don't know. We do have a flyweight coming
down. She's
literally
begging for a job.
We do have a flyweight coming down, though, Eddie. That will be interesting to see what Miesha Tate she can do at flyweight.
And don't think Dana wouldn't fast track her to a title shot, just because of her name.
No, I agree with that as well. Jessica Andrade, she's there too, and I think Jessica Andrade, she's probably a little bit better. She does have a win over Chookagian as well right now. Court McGee, he fought, he won. I was surprised. I didn't even know Court McGee actually still fought in the UFC. And and one guy who I was super impressed with, it's Vyacheslav Borishev.
Yes.
Did you see that liver punch?
Slavoklaws. That's what it is. Yeah.
Did you see that liver punch?
I did, and that made me want to throw up.
I mean, just the sound and the just ugly.
And can I say how disappointed I am in Bruce Buffer that he did not announce Dakota Bush using his nickname?
What's his nickname?
Harry.
Well, I can see why he didn't do that. What if he called him Harry Dakota Bush?
I mean, that would have been fine, I guess. At least he would have you'd have known that he was trying to work around it. But to just say Dakota Bush and just leave it out, I was a little upset. I was looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. Well, Eddie.
I'm a child, I know.
How did the Bears do? Did they play this week?
They did not lose.
Okay, that's good.
And they did not break my heart like the Cowboys.
There we go.
They ended the season on a win. Sorry, Cowboys fans.
Yeah. All right, guys. That was UFC Vegas, 32? ESPN 32?
ESPN 32.
Yes, guys. We will be back. We've got What Up With That. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well. Yeah.
And welcome back to 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. You're listening to Fight Night. I'm Eddie. That's Jordan. And Jordan, not only do we have fights back this Saturday, we also had SNL. Tell me you saw it.
I did not see it. I did not see any part of it, Eddie, actually.
What are you doing?
Was it good? Was there something enjoyable?
There was some enjoyable things. I found out I'm not really a fan of Bleachers.
Okay.
Okay. And actually, right now, at this point, I've only watched like half of it.
What is Bleachers?
They're a band.
I thought it was something.
They were the musical guest.
Oh, I thought it was like something like Ricky something.
Apparently they had to like switch it out, I guess.
Okay.
But I am now a fan of the host, Ariana DeBose, I think it was.
Sure. Never heard of her.
From West Side Story. She's the star of West Side Story. Yeah, but... the best thing on there, you've seen that they're doing a reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as a drama?
Yes, I have seen the. Did you ever see like the short that it's made after?
Yeah. Yeah, so now they're on full-on mode. There's trailers. It's ready to go. SNL did a, it kind of showed you how they're going to, the next reboot of a 90s comedy as a drama, Family Matters. It's just called Urkel.
Ooh, was Jaleel White in it?
Not himself, but a character, Chris Redd playing Jaleel White.
Okay.
That was probably the best sketch.
Okay, so I got to go watch that. You know, my family, our kids love Family Matters, right? It's a...
I don't think you want them to see this sketch.
Okay, well, I won't watch that one. So Will Forte, he's coming up this weekend.
You can watch it. Not Drake.
The musical guest, do you know who the musical guest is?
No clue.
Well, I'm going to say Manskin. Maniskin? Moniskin? I don't know who that is. M-A with a tilde over it. N-E-S-K-I-N. I'm going to go with Manskin. I don't like it, but okay. I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to just stop what I was going to say right there.
Yeah, I think you should as well.
Yeah. I'll listen. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
See how much I don't like him. I was very disappointed in Bleachers, though. The first song is like, I know six Austin bands that are 10 times better than this. So, but enough about that. UFC 272 in March, Jordan, has a new main event. What's up with that?
It doesn't happen often, Eddie, but when it does... And the fight is right, it's awesome. So they're going to go with a 5-round non-title welterweight matchup between Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington. And I would say that the BMF title is on the line, but we can hardly say that Jorge Masvidal has the BMF title after he got knocked out the way he did by Kamaru Usman.
That's very true. That's very true.
So maybe it's not on the line. So Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, these guys, they do not like each other. The fight is expected to take place in Las Vegas. I don't know why they're not doing it in Miami. Florida would gladly take them. These guys are from, you know, Masvidal from Miami.
Yeah.
Colby lives in Florida. These guys don't like each other. So if you go back to the history, these guys are like, I was going to say like good friends, better enemies. Shawn Michaels, Diesel, obviously. But I don't know who would be Diesel in this case. I don't even know who would be Shawn. Maybe Jorge would be Shawn Michaels. I think
they would both be Diesel because neither one deserves to be a Shawn Michaels.
Well, I mean, just the you think about...
Kobe pretends.
Okay. So these guys were best of friends. They lived together. They were training partners. They were really inseparable, right? And Colby details that the issue happened when these guys... started getting more competitive in who they were fighting. Jorge lost to Damian Maia. Colby then, beat Damian Maia. Colby kind of jumped up over Jorge in the rankings, and he thinks that it's jealousy, right? That it's Masvidal is jealous of him, that he is, doesn't see, what's going to happen, or doesn't see that, he should be ahead of him in the rankings. Colby, obviously, I think he got the fight first, right, against Kamaru Usman. Colby had beat a lot of the guys that, Masvidal, struggled against right there. And so it's just kind of go back, and now it gets ugly, right? It's ugly in the media between these two. I am looking forward, but not looking forward to the press conference. You would think that these guys, I mean, Eddie, this is your favorite. I mean, they almost were going to do a season of Tough here. Thank goodness they didn't. Like, that almost would be unbearable. Now, I don't watch Tough anyway, so I would have been okay. But these guys, they're going to skip that, and they're just going to fight. So maybe a way too early prediction. I think Colby wins this, and I think he wins this kind of easy.
I wish I weren't going to agree with you, but I do think Colby's just going to take him down and smother him for 5 rounds, if it lasts that long.
Yeah, and that's what he could do, right? He could just smother him just to kind of have his way with him. Obviously the UFC had originally announced there was going to be two title fights on UFC 272. It was going to be Piotr Jan versus Aljamain Sterling, Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway, and then Korean Zombie. And I don't know if that was the reason why this fight got pushed back. At some point, Aljamain had said that, Jan couldn't get, wasn't vaccinated and couldn't come and fight at that time. And so they're trying to move that fight to Florida. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but now what we do know is that fight is not happening that week. It's going to be Colby versus, Masvidal. And I want to see what the co-main event was. I thought I heard that. Jessica Ai versus Manon Fiore, but Bryce Mitchell versus Edson Barbosa. That one is on there. Marina Moroz versus Maria Agapova. She's crazy. Jan Chionan versus Marina Rodriguez. That fight's still on there.
That's a good one.
Kevin Holland versus Alex Oliveira. That might be the... That might be the co-main event now, the fight before Masvidal and Covington.
There you go. The fight before, not necessarily a co-main event. But yeah. Well, it's something to look forward to, except for the press conferences. Those will be...
You know you're going to watch.
No, I am not going to watch. I'm going to see... I can't not see the highlights, but I'm not going to watch it. No, I'm not going to watch it. You know, another thing we're not going to get to watch is Henry Cejudo making his comeback for a title fight. And him and Dana have been going back and forth for like the last week or so. What's up with that?
Get it right, Eddie. It's 4C. He calls himself 4C because he wants to be another champion. He wants to fight Alexander Volkanovsky to get his third UFC title, then obviously the Olympic champion. I see you kind of confused. Where's that fourth C coming from? He wants to be 4C. He's been asking for the opportunity to fight Volkanovsky for the title. Dana White was asked about it this weekend, and he said, look, this is a silly conversation for Henry to think that he could just come back, retire, and come back and jump the line and get a title fight. You know, but we've seen the UFC do this before, right? They did it for George St. Pierre. They let him come back. They let him skip the line.
Yeah.
They let him fight in a title in a weight division where he had never fought before.
But, you know, as much as I'd like to see Cejudo take this fight, he's no GSP.
He is no GSP. But then okay, again,
GSP was selling out the Sky Dome, okay? Henry Cejudo couldn't sell out the Irwin Center.
We saw them do it for Conor McGregor. We know that they would do it for Jon Jones.
Yeah, Henry Cejudo is none of those guys.
Wow.
Now, he could have been had he stuck around and not just quit all of a sudden. But the way that he left and, like, the level of fame that he was at, he needs to come back and fight somebody before you just throw him into a title fight. As much as I'd like to see that title fight, for him, he doesn't have much of an argument. He's not those guys.
He is not those guys, and that's actually the problem you mentioned, that the way he retired. That, I think, is a sticking point for the UFC. They did not like the way that he retired. Remember, that was a fight where we're like, is Dominic Cruz going to retire right now? Is he done after losing that fight? And then all of a sudden, you go Henry Cejudo, and he's like, I'm retiring, I'm done. Dana White didn't like that. Even on Saturday night, Dana said, isn't that guy retired? Why are we even talking about a retired fighter? He's still bringing that up. So I think the UFC, you know, they've got a sour taste in their mouth. And so they're not going to do Henry Cejudo any favors here.
Yeah, he does not have the leverage that he thinks he has. Just because you had some cringy moments with the Bella twins or something, you're no GSP. I'm sorry, man. Sorry. Now, someone who does, who is at that level, the GOAT, Amanda Nunes, she's leaving American Top Team. What's up with that?
Yeah, so that's what it sounds like. So according to Rafael Marinho, who is on Combate and MMA Globo in Brazil, he's saying that she is leaving American Top Team to start her own team. So she's going to leave American Top Team and she's going to start, you know, her own gym, her own team where she'll, you know, have her own fighters in there. What's interesting, though, is that her manager, who's been representing her for so long, is Dan Lambert, who is tied to American Top Team, who started American Top Team. So you wonder, is that going to cause a problem? Is that going to be something where she's no longer represented by Dan Lambert? The other thing that you think about is, what's causing this? Now, is this caused because, hey, she had this fight against Juliana Pena, she wasn't ready for it, she looked very bad in that fight, and so because of that, she is, you know, we've got to change camps. We've got to do something. We've got to change camps. Is it, hey, I just want to start, do my own thing, and I want to have my own gym, and I want everyone to be wrapped around me? Or does this mean that the UFC is planning for your idea, Eddie, that Kayla Harrison is actually coming into the UFC, and there's going to be a fight, and we know that Kayla Harrison is a member of American Top Team, and so she's trying to avoid that conflict. What do you think?
I am hoping it's number three. But the fact that she is not even thinking about hanging them up, that what I see is the good news out of all of this. Because there was some wonder. You know, you get beat like that, you've already started a family, and you're already looking towards retirement. Like, is she still going to be fighting? And now the answer is yes. And the good thing is having a team basically wrapped around you, made for you, only looking out for your success, as opposed to American Top Team being this huge entity where you're just one cog in the wheel. That's good for her, as long as she gets the right coaching. And it's not like she's forgotten everything she's learned beforehand. So I think it is a good thing. I think you're right about Kayla Harrison, knock on wood. And I'm looking forward to see what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Now, whether or not she fights Pena before that or not, we'll see. But her getting her bantamweight title back makes the Kayla Harrison fight bigger. So let's hope for that too. Now, as long as we're talking about people and retirement and a couple of those guys, Uri Faber is interested in making a comeback. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the only reason he's thinking about making a comeback is because Cub Swanson, after his fight over Darren Elkins, remember that spinning wheel kick that he had? He called out Uriah Faber, and not in like a mean way, but in a way where like, hey, let's have a WEC veterans belt, you know, an OG WEC belt, bring it out there. He wants to fight and challenge the King of California matchup, Uriah Faber versus Cub Swanson. Now, Uriah, he retired, but he's 43. The last time he kind of did come out of retirement, he fought Piotr Jan. Fight did not go great for him, obviously. Cub coming off a win, still around. These guys are actually kind of dancing around fighting each other back in the 2000s. It would have been pretty early on at the Saboba Casino in California. They were going to pay, you know, Cub a couple hundred dollars, and Uriah said he was going to be paid about $1,000. Obviously, now they could fight more. Faber's turning 43 in May. And he says that if he fights when he's 43, it would be a full 20 years of in fighting. So I think it's actually a good matchup. It's not a bad matchup. It's, you know, it's the right time for, you know, for Cub to fight a guy like Uriah. And this is not someone who's going to be making a name off of either of these fighters.
True, but it's not necessarily an old guy fight, which is the only thing that bugs me about it. If Uriah's going to come back and fight, he needs to fight someone who hasn't been active, has been as inactive as he has. So him fighting Cub, who's just coming off, like you said, a great win, that kind of bugs me a little bit.
You'll get over
also,
it.
Also, I think there's a couple guys who would dispute them fighting for a WEC belt.
Yeah.
Like maybe a king.
Aldo versus Cruz. You could put that fight on the same card and have double WEC champion.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a King of California belt. That would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Made a BMF title. A KOC title? King of California?
Love it.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, Jordan, there's good news for Leon Edwards. What's up with that?
All right, just real quickly, Dana White spoke with Aaron Bronstetter. He said that Aaron asked him about Leon Edwards fighting Kamaru, and Dana said 100% he's next. He deserves the title. Didn't give a date or when it's going to happen, but it will be the next fight for Kamaru Usman. So that's great news there.
Whew, he's jumped through all the hoops. He deserves it.
All right, Eddie, let me hit you with some new fights. You got to be pretty excited. Your favorite fighter, what are your favorite human beings? Greg Hardy fighting Sergey Spivak. You got Ilya Topuria fighting Charles Jourdain. Andrei Arlovsky fighting Jared Vandera. Priscilla Cachoeira versus Ji Yeon Kim. Joanne Wood versus Alexa Grasso. Sarah McMahon versus Carol Rosa. Mackenzie Dern fighting Tisha Torres. Jarzinho Rosenstruck fighting Marcin Tybura. Jakar Close versus Brandon Jenkins. Mike Jackson versus Dean Barry. The truth, Mike Jackson.
Wait, Truth is back?
Yeah, he's back. Guida fighting Claudio Puelas. And then over in Bellator, Yaroslav Amosov, he's going to be fighting Michael Venom Page after that win over Douglas Lima. And then Bibiana Fernandez versus John Lineker over in ONE Championship, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Hi, this is Bruce Buffer, and you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 with Jordan and Eddie.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Not one, but three champions will be here. We got an interim champion.
We've got
the official champion, and then we've got the flyweights. Francis Ngannou takes on Ciryl Gane for the UFC Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. Brandon Moreno defends his flyweight title against Deiveson Figueiredo for the the UFC flyweight title. I said that already.
Yeah.
UFC 270 takes place at the Honda Center. Is it still the Honda Center in Anaheim?
That's what I saw.
I mean, we're always changing names. We got the Crypto.com Center. We've got just things just happening. Eddie, I wasn't the first event at the Honda Center, but the Ronda at the Honda. I was there. I was there for Ronda at the Honda when she fought Liz Carmouche. I remember going out there for that fight. That was a good time. I was like, I have to be there. I need to be there. That's why I talked to MC Hammer. It was a lot of fun. So.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, yeah.
So, Francis Ngannou, Ciryl Gane. This is like a heavyweight dream matchup. You've got the guy with power versus the guy with the technique. This is power versus technique. Two guys that look great getting off the bus. Two guys that you could say, this is your heavyweight champion, and people will be like, oh, I get it. Oh, that makes sense. That guy looks like he's ginormous.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, they're both just the epitome of the evolution of the heavyweights. And in Ngannou, you've got the guy that just, like, he's the guy that they always wanted. He's what they wanted Alistair Overeem to be. The chiseled out of granite, six-pack abs, huge muscles popping out everywhere that could just knock you out with the flick of a pinky. And then you've got Ciryl Gane, who is the technique-wise evolution, where you see he moves like a middleweight. And having watched him in person in Houston when he beat Derek Lewis, the guy gets in and out so fast. It's hard to, you can't even realize how fast he moves on screen if you're not there in person. And it's like he's in and out so fast, you just can't hit him. So it's like, does he get will Ngannou knock him out? Will Ciryl Gane outpoint him? How's it going to go?
Yeah.
Interesting to find out.
Either way, I'm really looking forward to it. This is a great fight, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But, like, the biggest side stories of this fight is the contract issue right now with Francis Ngannou. So he told ESPN that he wants a boxing option in his next contract. This is the last fight on his contract. He says he will not fight anymore for $500K or $600K. There is a championship clause, though, that if your contract expires or your contract ends and you're the champion, then it gets extended by a year or three fights. So, legitimately, if Francis Ngannou wins, we could see him not fight again this year, which will be interesting, and then leave as the champion, unless they strip him, right, by the end of the year. So, you know, one of the biggest issues is that Francis's management company is CAA, who is a rival to Endeavor, who is the owner of the UFC, and I don't think Dana White dislikes Francis. I think he just dislikes the management company there.
And it's really sad when personal feelings like that get involved in these things. It should just be business. How many times do you hear people say, oh, it's just business, it's just business? But with Dana White, it's never just business.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great fight. And really, we'll see what happens. Like, you know, if Francis were to lose this fight, I mean, it sounds like he could go right away. He could go somewhere else. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Francis stay in the UFC. There's just not, like, you know, Bellator can't pay him what they could. And the fact that, like, you know, he talks about fighting boxing or boxing Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is an ESPN fighter, right? Top Rank is an ESPN brand. So, you know, those things, if you could figure that out, that would be something that'd be really interesting.
Also, that fight loses a lot of its cachet if he's not the UFC heavyweight champ.
It depends how the fight goes, right? If he gets outpointed, but, you know, I definitely something I want to see. Eddie, in the co-main event, you got Brandon Moreno and Deiveson Figueiredo. That's going to be a great fight. I told you last week I'm picking Figueiredo to be the champion at the end of the year, so I'm interested to see how Figueiredo comes in to the scale this week. That's really going to tell a lot. He came in late last week, and he didn't look great. But Moreno, you know, he has a win over him. There's that psyche side of things. Henry Cejudo is going to be in the corner of Deiveson. Calls Brandon Moreno a traitor, and we'll see. This should be a fun fight, though.
And also, I picked Moreno to be the champ at the end of the year. So this is you versus me now.
This is you versus me. And Deiveson is not going to get...
Actually, the heavyweights...
He's not going to get another chance, right? If you lose this fight, you're not... This is my one and only shot, right, for him to to get this. So, but it's going to be fun. I did have to make a change. Your favorite fighter, Greg Hardy, will not be on the card. So he hurt his finger, so he won't be there. You also have Michelle Pajeda fighting Andre Fialo. You've got, who else? You've got Cody Stamann fighting Saeed Nurmagomedov. So there's some fun fights on here, man. This is appointment viewing. This is something that I'm going to definitely, you know, go out of my way. And I'll probably be at Buffalo Wild Wings up in Cedar Park to watch this. How about you?
I might have to go down south. I got a buddy's band playing on South Lamar after the fight, so I might have to go down south for this.
Nice. Well, check us out. Next week, we'll be talking all about UFC 270. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and we will see you next week.
Be safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.